You're listening to the August 25th episode of Cheesehead Radio, Rants on the Ground. Tonight's guest blogger is Robert Greenfield of PackerRanter.com.
Reach the eye.
Deep for Greg Jennings. Jennings reaches out and makes the grab. Get the Jackson back in the game, and look at what he does.
Reach.
Whitehurst steps up. Thrown too high and picked off. Sam Shields with the interception.
You are listening to Cheesehead Radio.
Hey, who is this?
This is CD.
CD. All right. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, Jersey Al here.
Oh, Jersey Al!
I bet that's Holly.
Who is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who is it?
This is the Glenn Beck Show.
Oh, oh man.
Glenn.
Hey!
I'm hanging out.
Cheesehead Radio.
What is going on, Green Bay Packer Nation? It is an exciting night. Welcome to our August 25th episode, Rants on the Ground. Thanks for coming around. As always, things are crazy. I'm in the middle of a fantasy football draft right now, my first run of the year, and I'm having NFL football overload. And then something, it's my pick right now. Who should I take? The Green Bay D? Reggie Bush? I don't know. But we got to talk to Packers or Jersey Al's going to get pissed. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about Sam Shields. We're going to talk about Jared Bush's day as a Packer, days left as a Packer, if he's going to stick around. We're going to talk about the game tomorrow. Like I said, I'm on football overload. Someone stop me now. Anyway, I'm going to turn it over right away since it is my pick to the wonderful, the venerable, the good-looking, the extraordinarily good-looking CD Angeli of TundraVision.com. I got to go. What's going on, CD?
All right. Hey, welcome to Cheesehead Radio. I'd like to join our other hosts here today. We got Holly Phelps from The Other 31, and we have Jersey Al Bracco from Jersey Al's Blog. How you doing today, guys?
We're doing good.
Good.
Ready to go.
I forgot to say Packer Ranters on the show, too, the most exciting thing of all.
That's going to be fun.
Like I said, my brain's exploding right now with football excitement.
All right.
Our immensely special guest blogger tonight on Cheesehead Radio, Robert Greenfield from PackerRanter.com. If nothing else, it should be a lively conversation tonight. I am pretty excited. How about you guys?
Oh, yeah.
I am ready to go. I have my mouse in one hand and my lining kugel in the other. Let's go. Packer news for the last week. The Packers' Monday night practice was their final one of their training camp phase. Starting with Tuesday morning's workout, the Packers moved to their regular season practice schedule. According to Mike McCarthy, he was extremely pleased with this year's camp, especially the fan support. But now it's time to start getting into that routine for the games that count. Tomorrow night's game doesn't count from a result standpoint, but it should be a good measuring stick for the Packers' defense. Can the front seven create a pass rush minus Clay Matthews, or will they get lit up by another veteran quarterback? This dress rehearsal game should generate a lot of good film for the coaches who will hopefully make the right decision about players on the bubble. One player definitely on the bubble after an awful performance last week is Justin Harrell. Watching the game, it seemed to me that he was on the ground quite a bit. Sure enough, in an article on JS Online, Bob McGinn wrote that Harrell was on the ground 5 of the 7 run plays he was in for. My impression during the game was that he seemed too passive. Perhaps his back was the culprit. Maybe his mind was still with his wife and their newborn baby. For his part, Harrell blamed bad footwork. Whatever the cause, he needs to show something against Indy, or the Justin Harrell era will finally be over. Looking to start his own era is John Schneider, the new GM of the Seattle Seahawks. During his years in Green Bay's front office, Schneider saw Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson build the team through vastly different styles. From his early moves, it seems Schneider favors Wolf's way of running things. He's been acting like a man with the shackles removed, pulling off several trades and free agent signings. Such wheeling and dealing suggests that Schneider was frustrated by Ted Thompson's more conservative approach. Not at all conservative is Packers linebackers coach Kevin Green. The slightly insane former Pro Bowl linebacker and professional wrestler has a new protege, Frank Zombo, or Zombonius Moronius, as he calls him. Green was effusive in his praise of Zombo and the kid's toughness and work ethic. "I think he's making it look easy," Green said, of the transition to 3-4 linebacker. "In the 3-4, you really want a couple of dogs on the corner, dogs that'll get out and hunt, and he's doing that," said Green. Speaking of dogs, two players in a dogfight for one roster spot are punters Chris Bryan and Tim Matstay. Each has shown more talent than we've seen in Green Bay the last 2 years, but neither has pulled away and distinguished himself as the clear choice. Their training camp and preseason performances have been near identical. This could be one of Mike McCarthy's more difficult roster decisions, as he recently stated that he believes they both will be punting in the NFL for a long time. And now, news from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week in the Packers Twitterverse.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
All right. Packers superfan Adam Check tweeted this week that the Packers should cut Jared Bush so the Vikings can sign him. He thinks that's the best way for Bush to help the Packers. After the Packers win against Seattle, the players evidently had some free time before they caught the red eye back to Green Bay. At first, Will Blackman complained about the lack of Seattle nightlife, but soon after, he tweeted with a sense of delight, "Just seen some Packer fans chasing Ryan Grant down Fifth Avenue in downtown Seattle. Ha ha. My only question is, was Grant able to outrun them?" And the Vikings-49ers game on Sunday night drew some understandable interest from Packer players. Jermichael Finley wanted to know if old man Favre was playing, and Nick Barnett said he was ready to watch the Vikings lose. About an hour later, however, Barnett tweeted, "I'm not going to lie, I stopped watching the game and I'm now watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians." That's so you, Nick, and that, folks, was the tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week.
Hey, is it just me and you, Al? CD, you here? Anyway, what do we got going on? It's Who Moved My Cheese Curds?
Who Moved My Cheese Curds?
Which is our rant of the week. And guess what? It's my rant, by the way. And I have a lot of stuff to rant about, too, while I'm doing my fantasy draft. Just goes
good thing it's your rant, that, Alex.
I know, good thing, because I can do two things at once and walk and chew gum and all that good stuff. First of all, people quit stealing my slogans. My slogan at the Packers Lounge has always been, by the fans, for the fans. Now, today, for like the third time, I see another website with the slogan, by Packers fans, for Packers fans. And I've seen variations of this over and over and over and over and over. You know, they say that flattery or imitation is the sincerest form of flattery or whatever it is. You know what imitation is to me? You being too stupid to come up with your own stuff, so go get your own slogans. Second, people in the comment section on TV, I don't know who you two crazy dudes are in the comment section, but if you're faking it, you're doing a poor job, and I know you are. There's no way you are that dumb, but I do believe you're dumb enough to act that dumb, so stop it. My third rant of the day is, how come nothing on Cheesehead Radio is working right now? I'm stuck here doing a fantasy draft with Jersey Al, who doesn't even play fantasy football, and now I have to talk about the Packers, too, without the host and without Packer Ranger? Come on! That's my rant of the week.
Very good, Alex. This is going to be interesting.
It is, because how are we going to do the extra points with only two people when you need three? But we'll keep going.
And
go ahead, Al. You bring up the extra point. You bring up the extra point, and I'll talk about it. How about that? Or we can reverse
right,
it on everyone.
Extra point.
Totally.
Extra point number one. Derek Martin's ejection from last week's game may be the tipping point in whether or not he makes the final roster.
You know, I'm going to take the TD and the interception on this one, Al. Only because
you might
I have
as well.
I might as well. You know, it was a boneheaded play, but if you look at the video that Greg Bedard posted, if you haven't seen it, I posted it at the Packers Lounge, or look at Greg Bedard's Twitter feed. But anyway, you know, he was playing a little rough, but he threw a punch, yeah, kind of, sort of. He may get a suspension. I don't think it's going to be whether he makes a team or not, because the guy is good on special teams, and we need that kind of guy around. It's not going to cost him his job. Maybe it should in a perfect world, but we're just not that deep in that position. It was a terrible thing to see. Lucky it was a preseason game. If it would have cost us a game in the regular season, I can see everyone being pretty upset. But, you know, boneheaded move. I've always thought that he was boneheaded anyway. But, you know, we'll see what happens. He's not going to lose his job because of it, though. Touchdown,
yeah,
interception.
I'd have to agree, Alex. I mean, people have done far worse and continued along with their cushy NFL jobs. So, yeah, I don't think Derek Martin loses his job because of that. I agree.
I don't either. I think it was probably a good call at the time. The refs, you know, they're picking stuff out. They got preseason too, but, you know, he won't get fired.
All right. Extra point number two. Brandon Jackson has come into his own and will be more than just a third bound back this year.
Boy,
what
I hope so. I hope so, because McCarthy's been telling us for how many years now that he's going to be that guy. I liked what I saw the last game. You know, I was happy to see that he, you know, came around and actually made some yards. A lot of it was against the third string defense and things like that, but he showed some of the flash I'd like to see all around. What I do like is how he cut back the run. You know, a big gripe against Ryan Grant is that he kind of runs him to the line, although he's been doing better at looking to the other side this year. But Brandon Jackson, if it's gone on one side or the blocks are pushed, he makes that cut back and heads to the open field, and that's what I like about Brandon Jackson. I'd like to see more of that, and I think we have the offensive line to do more of that this year.
Yeah, Brandon Jackson, you know, one preseason game isn't enough to convince me. I know for the last 2 years you've been a big Brandon Jackson supporter, and then I felt this year you kind of cooled a little bit. We didn't hear you pushing Brandon Jackson quite as much, and rightfully so. I think you finally came to your senses. But, you know, he did have a very good game last week. You cannot deny that. Yes, a lot of it was against, you know, the second and third stringers late in the game. But he did also break off a couple of nice runs in the second quarter. So, you know, it's one game. It's progress. Is it the real Brandon Jackson? I don't know. I'll reserve judgment. I want to see more.
I agree. I hope so.
Okay. Extra point number three. John Kuhn has given us the flexibility to go with just Grant and Jackson and running back, saving a roster spot elsewhere. What do you think of that, Alex?
You know, I like it. The more and more the bottom line, the way I look at it is Kuhn better than Lumpkin and Quinn Johnson, who I think is going to be on the practice squad anyway, so you can kind of take him out of the equation. So is Lumpkin better than Kuhn? And the answer is simply no. John Kuhn can do the same job that Craig Lumpkin can in the same situation. I'm confident of that. And if it saves a roster spot for one of the other tight ends or, you know, someone in a position of more need that we want to keep around and keep away from other teams, I say go for it. I mean, Craig Lumpkin's had all the chance in the world to prove himself, and he's not any better or any worse, maybe, as that matter, for John Kuhn. But I'm sure that there's plenty of other players at other roster spots with more potential than Craig Lumpkin right now. So I agree. Two running backs is fine.
I'm a little unsure about this one, Alex. I agree with a lot of what you said. I don't worry about taking, you know, it may be an opportunity to keep players that would be more useful all around at different positions, but I really worry about just having two halfbacks on the team, you know, especially with running backs and how easily they get hurt. It just worries me. So I guess I'm somewhere in between on this one. I can't really decide, so I'm glad I didn't have to. But I'd probably prefer to see three real halfbacks on the team and two fullbacks and then however many tight ends they can jam in. But we'll see what happens with that.
Good answer, Al. All right. Good answer.
All right. Well, Holly was nice enough in the chat to let me know that she put her opposition research minute text up on our show script here. So let's just read off her opposition research minute. Of course, I won't sound quite as good as Holly doing it, but if anybody needs help with their fantasy teams, hire Holly. Without a doubt. All right. In any case, see how good Holly is? She's right now putting in phonetical spellings for me in the script. As I'm watching the script, she's in there typing things phonetically for me.
Awesome.
She's amazing, that Holly. Can't say enough about her. Okay. Now she's going too far. She's doing the ones that I know how to pronounce. But that's okay. She's being helped.
And now, this week's Opposition Research Minute.
Okay, so, Opposition Research. Tomorrow's game is a dress rehearsal for the regular season, with starters expected to play for at least a half. When you look at the matchup, you may feel a touch of deja vu. Like the Packers, the Colts have a field marshal at quarterback who throws to some of the best wideouts in the biz, not to mention a tight end who's a mismatch no matter where he lines up. Each defense is looking to tighten and increase creativity in the second year of a new scheme. Each team is bringing back nearly all of its starters on offense and defense. With so many veterans, there really aren't many roster battles. One to watch is between rookie Brody Eldridge and Keyshawn Robinson for the backup tight end spot. In Indy, the third tight end is a chameleon, stepping into block, run, catch, and tackle. The Colts are known for finding late-round gems like Pierre Garçon and Antoine Bethea, and many fans think Eldridge will be the next. With All-Pro Dallas Clark out with a leg injury, keep your eyes peeled for number 81. Also, the Colts, like the Packers, are still looking for a solid kick and punt returner. Indy was 18th in kick returns and 28th in punt returns in 2009, and with their top returners no longer on the team, there is a rare opening for a new face. Both teams have plans that extend into February, but only the Colts, all of the Colts, have Super Bowl experience. Both teams are confident coming into the season. Tomorrow night should be fun to watch, for a half anyway. It's still preseason after all. Okay, well, that was a nice job by Holly. Give us a little flavor of what to expect
nice work,
tomorrow
Holly.
Night. Very good. All right, so where do we go from here, Alex? This is
boy, I don't know.
Oh, wait, I hear Holly.
Hey, I do hear Holly.
Really?
Yeah. How'd you get in?
I have no idea.
Oh, all right. Awesome. We're 3/4 there.
He sure is trying his best.
Oh, there's CD.
Yeah. Hello.
Are we all here?
I think so. I apologize to all of you out there
at
Radio Land. What's wrong?
Wow. What happened?
You know what? Firefox, normally very, very reliable, just decided at that particular moment it was time to completely crash. So we had to do a complete restart, and I'm back. I'm actually on Internet Explorer now, so that should be good. I apologize. And you guys were all completely wrong on the points of contention, just so you know, I was listening.
It happens. It happens. All right. Robert says he's trying to call in.
Okay. I have
him.
I do have him.
Okay.
I do have
excellent.
Him.
Hey, Holly, are you still there?
I am.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Water of the Week.
All right. Well, assuming that we're all here and functioning on Cheesehead Radio, we are joined today by one of the most unique Packer bloggers I believe we have in the entire blogosphere. We have Robert Greenfield of PackerRanter.com. Rob, are you with us today?
I am here tonight, CD. How are you?
Oh, well, a little better now.
Hello, Robert.
There's always a dreaded glitch, but I'm glad we got you here with us.
Welcome.
It's great to be here. 2 weeks away from the regular season. We got a good team on our hands, and I'm talking with you fine people, so thanks for having me on.
Fine is far too kind a word, Mr. Greenfield, but I'll take it.
But accurate.
But accurate, yeah.
Hey, Robert, well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the incredible uniqueness of your site. It probably isn't as much news as it is features and just an interesting, sometimes twisted sense of humor. How did you and Franklin Hillside get this thing going?
We both have, you know, extensive journalism backgrounds, and I think that comes through on our site. You know, we strive for accuracy and, you know, grounded in the roots of journalistic integrity, and, you know, we use a lot of facts and statistics, so we got that going for us. thank you. In all seriousness, well, Franks and I met in college in Minnesota, and we're both from Wisconsin originally, and kind of grew up watching games together, and just stuck to the lighter side of the Packers and Packer culture. I mean, like you said, we're a humor Packers site, and we're okay with that. I guess the site kind of grew, I'm going to say, from over a few beers up north in Wisconsin a few years ago. After college, we kind of just got together a lot and talked about starting our own blog and came up with the name Packer Ranter. And we wanted it to be exactly like the name sounded, you know, kind of no holds barred, brutal honesty. So the next week after that, I put up what I like to say is the worst website of all time. And I'm not even kidding. This was a site through geocities.com with this insanely long URL. And every time you posted something, you had to delete what was already there. It really sucked. It was just a piece of crap, you know. But it was our piece of crap.
And that's all that matters.
Exactly. Yes, we thought it was the coolest thing in the world to see something we created out there for people to read. And the following year, we decided it was time to upgrade, so we got to hook up through blogger.com, and that's the site you see now. So while the previous site, I guess, was remedial, this one's kind of a JV site, and we kind of stuck to the comedy angle ever since. You know, we felt bad ripping on players. We realized that brutal honesty thing wasn't really for us, and our favorite stories are the ones that just, like, kind of what-ifs and wacky casual observations. So we just want to kind of make people laugh, and once in a while, I think we do it.
Oh, Lord, once in a while.
That you certainly do. Yeah, exactly. What year did you say you first started? I didn't catch the year.
The GeoCities one was about 2007, and then 2008 we took over the site you see now, yeah.
Is there still a GeoCities at all?
I don't think so.
I have no idea. No, I was going to pull a screenshot of the old
site. Probably bought by somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a ripoff. I think I was paying $10 a month for that, too. And
What's up with the pictures? That's my big question tonight. You go to Packer Rancher, you see your names, and then there are the pictures. What's the story behind the pictures? It's my must-need-to-know question of the evening.
Are you asking if those are real pictures?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're not. I'm pretty sure they're not real, but if they are, that's an even better story. But if they're not, I just want to know why.
Well, I don't have the hair anymore. no, I'm kidding. That is an actual real picture. Who those gentlemen are, I can't really say, but for all we know, their names could be Robert Greenfield and Franklin Hillside. So,
what is the name for that modified mullet that you sport in that picture there?
Oh, I just kind of go with the one word, party. It's been working for me ever since, you know.
Because I've seen lots of mullets, but I haven't seen too many with the front hair flipped up so perfectly like that. Very interesting.
Jared Allentown.
What was that, Robert?
I said that guy was wearing a lot of gel that day, I tell you.
yeah. That guy. Listen, explain for me your seeming obsessions with action figures, science fiction, and food. Seems like those are your favorite topics.
Yeah, that's a good call. You know, I'd put all of them up there in all of our favorite topics. I think we're just, as far as the science fiction thing, I think we've just watched a few too many movies. Action figures, I mean, we grew up in the action figure craze of like the late 80s and the 90s, so that kind of explains that. No, I don't collect any action figures. I think I have a Reggie White bobblehead somewhere, though. As far as the food, I mean, you know, being from Wisconsin, we're in the culture of beer and cheese and eating well on the grill, so that's always top of mind. I mean, let's face it, we eat 2-3 meals a day.
Okay.
So I don't really have a good answer for that.
Okay. Is there any truth to the rumor that you and Franklin are really prepubescent teenagers hanging out in your bedrooms?
No, at one point we were, but now we're grown men technically with, you know, an 18-year-old kind of sensibility.
Nice.
You mentioned a Reggie White bobblehead before. What's the most unusual Packers-related item you own?
Oh, that's a great question. And I thought about this earlier, and there's actually two of them. One of them was given away, and that was a Ted Thompson autographed card that was purchased off eBay. We gave it to a guy we dubbed the company man, or Ted Thompson Jr., and he just loves the thing. My favorite one is this magnet that I created. Last year I did a story or a rant about these Google searches, and I typed in Brett Favre is, and all these comments came down. I think the first one was Brett Favre is a douche. So
I remember
yeah,
that.
I took a screenshot of that, and I put it to a website, and I tried to sell it for about a week when the Favre thing was hot last year. And I bought it, you know, just to make sure everything worked. And to this day, I'm the only one that's purchased one, but I have it sitting on my fridge.
I got to tell you, I just put it in Google, and the first one that comes up is old Brett Favre's old jokes. And then there's Brett Favre is so old. Brett Favre is overrated. And Brett Favre is a jerk.
Yeah, some of those.
And then there's Brett Favre as a grandpa, which
all apply.
It's weird.
You know, goes a couple of ways.
Brett Favre is a sector.
Mm. Hey, guess
Robert,
what? Go ahead,
Robert. My last question for you, and then Alex, you can take over. What Packers player would you most like to buy dinner, and where would you take him?
That's a great
question. Current
Packers
player.
Oh, so it can't be Tracy White.
No. Yeah. <see? laughs> Good answer.
Mm-hmm. I can't speak for Franklin, but for me, I got to say, you know, I want to lean towards Rodgers because he's a pretty interesting guy, I think. But my favorite player the last few years has been Donald Driver. You know, ever since I could remember having a favorite player, I think Sterling Sharp was my favorite, followed by Butler, Favre, and now Driver. I'm just really impressed by Driver all the time. I mean, the guy won't go away. He's an ageless wonder. Just coming from where he did, kind of a rough childhood, kind of poor, and made the most of himself. You know, I just think it'd be a lot of fun to be around, a lot of smiles, a lot of laughs, and I'd love to hear a little bit more of his story and what keeps him motivated.
Okay.
Driver is pretty awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah. Alex, you got a question over there?
No, I was just going to announce that my fantasy draft is over so I can pay attention more now. Not everyone would be super excited to hear that.
God bless us all.
I think this is the first Packer show ever done simultaneously during a Packer draft, though, so we have made Packers blogosphere history here today.
Excellent.
Perhaps.
Excellent.
Perhaps.
The funny thing about
how many
Driver
Packers
is,
you have?
How many what?
How many Packers have you drafted so far?
Well, I'm done, and I got Ryan Grant, JerMichael Finley, and the Packers D.
Oh, you're solid.
Yeah,
yeah,
and let
I
me tell
so.
You, he wanted to draft JerMichael Finley beginning in, like, the second round.
I think he's going to have like 1,100 yards and 11. I mean, it's just as good as, I think he's as good as any receiver that was on the board when I got
there. Yeah, but you just needed a quarterback.
I think I had Peyton Manning.
Not in the second round, you didn't.
Yeah, that's right. I did think about taking him with my second pick, just but I'm solid right there with Grant Finley and the Packers D. And then I swiped the Minnesota D, too, so no one else could take them because they're all Viking fans and they were all really pissed. So, successful draft.
Excellent. You pissed off Vikings fans.
Yep, I'm always my main effective.
Good work.
It's great to have Packer Ranter on here. You got to admit, Packer Ranter is the most unique blog ever. I like to think the Packers Lounge is unique, and it is in a different way, but Packer Ranter just has stuff that no one else would ever even conceive of beginning to think of. So if you're not going to Packer Ranter, just start going there once, twice, three times a week, depending on what kind of mood those guys are in as far as posting goes. It's awesome reading, and everything there is worth the 5 to 10 minutes it's going to take you to read. So that's my That's my unrant.
I second that.
I would too.
Wow. Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. We'll keep it going. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of going after Vikings fans and making them mad, I really love the Vikings gab back and forth that you had going on there with the trash talk. It was really quite wonderful. And I got to ask, since you went to college in Minnesota, did you ever get a chance to do this in person? I mean, it's easy to write something down and go after somebody in words, but when they're standing right there, sometimes it's not quite as easy. Is this? Did you get your expertise from personal experience or not?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you I do this daily. I keep in a pretty good email string with some roommates from college, and in this one house I lived in my sophomore year, there were 2 Packers fans and 5 Vikings fans, so we lived it, you know. And this was 98, and this was the year they went all the way to the NFC Championship, and they missed that field goal, and man, was that awesome.
Oh,
so that
man.
Was sweet. Yep, so I did this all the time, and I'd say Franklin's a little bit better verbally, I think about equal over typing. So, but no, I don't type on the computer. I think I do it pretty well in person too.
What are you seeing for the 2 teams this year, Robert? Is Vikings, Packers? How's everything going to shake out?
That's a good question. The Vikings still a very good team, but I think last year everything just kind of clicked for them. You know, they were healthy. Favre played out of his mind. They had a few couple guys emerge. Sidney Rice comes to mind. Allen was a beast. But, you know, this year they're kind of, there's some chinks in their armor, and every day there seems to be something new. And the Packers, on the other hand, I think are just on the upswing. So, you know, it's really close, but, of course, I'm going to go in favor of the green and gold. I mean, they just have so much going for them this year. They have a huge chip on their shoulder from last year in that game against Arizona. So I really got to go in favor of the Packers, but not by a ton.
Do they split? Do they win both? What do you think?
I'm going to say we're going to take them both.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty bold, I know, but that's me.
No, I agree with you.
I agree. We're going to win all our games. That's all there is to it.
All right. Hey, Robert, we're going to open it up to our call-in period. You are more than welcome to stick around. Would you like to do that, maybe take some calls or get into some roundtable discussion with us?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent.
What a freak's call.
Well, then we have a siren for them, I guess.
The Fred siren.
The Fred siren, yes. We have the Fred siren. Fred, if you're out there, you need to call in. The phone number is 917-932-8401. While we're waiting for our first caller to come in from the chat room or from wherever you are out there in Packerland, let's get around to some of our roundtable discussions. My favorite one that I've just been waiting for. Pete Doherty, I think, discussed this week. Jarrett Bush has been taken off a couple of the special teams, first teamers.
replaced with Sam Shields, replaced with some tight ends. Could this finally be the end of Jarrett Bush as a Green Bay Packer?
Well, I'll chime in. I said it before season, before the camp. I said this will be the year that we finally get rid of Jarrett Bush. Not that I had any really good reason why. Maybe it was just wishful thinking. But I said this will be the year that he goes. So I'm sticking with that.
I'd be fine with it, you know, and I hate to do this because I've stood firm and said the whole time that Sam Shields won't make the team, but if he makes it as a corner and he's better than Jarrett Bush, well, I'll walk that back a little bit, I guess, because we all know that I'll eat crow to get Jarrett Bush off of this team. Just not have to watch him anymore. So
yeah,
I'm rooting for you, Sam.
Everybody overreacted to Sam Shields. You know, they looked at him strictly as, well, if he can't return, he can't be on the team. But no, you know, the week before I had written something about that and how impressive he was looking as a cornerback for a guy who only had at most 1 year of experience. You know, and he got accolades from Woodson, from Tremont Williams. You know, they don't say these things like, you know, they didn't say these things about Jarrett Bush. So I'm confident Sam Shields is already better than Jarrett Bush as a cornerback. So
well,
goodbye, Jarrett.
Let's also understand that they were asked directly about Sam Shields. So they're not going to respond to a question about Sam Shields with a comment on Jarrett Bush. But
would they automatically say, yeah, he's good enough, he's going to play for us?
No.
You know, Woodson saying, yeah, he's good enough to play for us.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And basically, I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, Shields could be a really great gunner, which is what Bush is on special teams. And as long as he's not recording back-to-back penalties, I think he's got the leg up. And if he's anywhere near the ball in coverage as a corner, I mean, that's an automatic upgrade from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, he does seem to be a lot more aware of where the ball is than Jarrett Bush is, absolutely.
Let me ask you a question here on Jarrett Bush. Jarrett Bush probably is a good gunner, but he just seems to make some boneheaded play every single game that really ends up costing us field position or a down punt or just something. Are we going to be more forgiving of Sam Shields if he makes those same types of mistakes in his first year, assuming that's the way it goes?
Well, he won't have to make those penalties. That's what Derek Martin's for.
No, good point.
We have that covered.
I'd give him a year. I'd be so happy he could make some mistakes for a little while anyway. I mean, he's got to be better than... Oh, the phone.
We have a caller.
Caller.
Hey there. You're on Cheesehead Radio. Hello?
Oh.
No one is
not
here.
Again.
It's the weekly prank.
Yeah.
Oh,
Fred?
Wait,
is it Fred? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Someone's there.
Hello.
You're on Cheesehead Radio.
Speak up.
All right.
Can you collect his autograph?
I'm still waiting for our first, you know, first time, long time call. Who's going to call in and say that? Come on.
First time, long time.
All right. I'm guessing it's...
Welcome.
I'm guessing they can't hear us, so I guess we'll just kind of move on there.
So much for having a call-in show.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, this is a Hindenburg of a show, huh?
No.
What do you guys...
Humanity.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about B.J. Raji is just, in his play right now at the nose tackle, such an important position in the 3-4. This guy's got to be able to get push and take up two blockers and maybe distract a third for a lot of everything else to get going. In the first two preseason games, I don't know if you guys have looked at him specifically, but I'm just not seeing the push or maybe him taking that up. Is Raji in over his head, do you think, this year, or do you think he's going to come around? What's your thoughts on that, guys?
I think he's in. I think it's his year, the same as I think it's Justin Harrell's. He was hurt last year. I mean, I give him a lot of credit for being a big guy and playing on that, but I don't know. It's so early to tell. I'm footballed out. He looks good. I've watched every Packer game like 5 times this year, and he doesn't look bad. I'll leave it at that. I'd like to see more, but he'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. He's done okay. He hasn't looked outstanding, but he hasn't looked bad either. You know, he's controlling his area. Sometimes I think he loses track of the ball carrier if it's a running play. You know, sometimes you can see the running back go right by him, and then he turns like a second too late. So I think he needs to improve the vision there while he's engaging with the blockers. But I saw some nice flashes from him. I saw what might have been the Packers' best pass rush of the entire Seattle game, where, you know, he got past the center with a pretty quick swipe move and didn't quite get the quarterback in time, but did force a hurried throw. So, you know, he's shown a few flashes, but nothing outstanding like a number 9 pick that he was. But there's still plenty of time.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, that's one of those positions that you can't just say,
hello,
go to the quarterback and make it there.
Hello.
Right.
Can you
hi,
hear
Alex.
Me?
Yeah, we
Alex.
Can hear you.
Oh.
We can hear you, Alex.
Alex, I can hear you. Oh, jeez. What is going on?
Oh, it's one of those days, let me tell you. Anyway. Personally,
Robert, are you still there?
I'm still there. You guys just had such good stuff. I don't know what to say.
No, that's okay. Just to make sure we didn't lose you, that's all.
Not at all.
One of those things. Okay.
I think Raji is going to be fine eventually. I think it's going to work out. It's such a critical position in the 3-4, and since we've seen such a problem with the pass rush, I'm hoping that he's going to take on that role. Going from there, let's go back a little bit in the defense. Atari Bigby, not looking like he's going to be ready. Al Harris, not looking like he's going to be ready for the start of the season. Morgan Burnett, kind of on and off. You guys got concerns about this, especially at the strong safety position?
I'm pissed off at Atari Bigby.
Well, aren't we all?
I mean, well, the guy comes out in an interview. I mean, not just because he didn't sign his tender until the last day, not just because he didn't come into camp until, you know, the very last minute, not just because he failed his physical, but because after all of that, he said that he would be extremely disappointed if the Packers put him on the pup list. And I'm just sitting there going, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Seriously, you had this ankle problem and you didn't come to Green Bay and let the doctors look at it at all in the preseason. And then suddenly it's a problem and you have to have surgery. And you'll be extremely disappointed if they decide that you're not ready to go. I'm sorry. But last I checked, you didn't go to the Pro Bowl last year or the year before or ever.
Or ever.
So, you know, play to the caliber that you think that you're worth. And if you think you're worth a long-term contract, play like it. And since you can't show up in shape to, you know, to compete for, you know, that kind of contract, there's going to be another guy that steps up. There's always going to be another guy that steps up. And I like Atari, but he pisses me off. I'm not really worried about our secondary. I'm just mad at him.
Yeah.
Hey there. You're on Cheesehead Radio. Who do we have here today?
Hey, it's Max. How you guys doing?
Max, why are you the only person that can get through?
I don't know. Super
you have the
model,
magic touch somehow. Wow.
Well,
how you doing, Max?
I'm pretty well. How about you guys?
All right. What can we
what
do
you got
for
us this week, Max?
Well, my question is, because I do think Jared Bush is not going to make this team this year. I think this will be the year. And my question is, who are Packer fans going to direct their hate towards? And so I'm wondering, you know, maybe each of you could name a player that we could transfer our hate to.
I don't think Holly has to answer that, do you, Holly?
Right. I know Holly's answer.
Well,
I'll tell you.
You blame me?
No.
Go ahead, Max. Who's your boy? Who's your whipping boy?
Oh, it's got to be one of the offensive linemen. I mean, I don't think Breno's even going to make this team, so can't be him. Maybe college?
That would be a good choice.
I'm going to go with Crosby.
You stole my thunder.
I thought someone might jump in that on there, but
go ahead.
If he doesn't get it together this year, I mean, he's going to be the next Jared Bush and going to have to get out of town. I mean, special teams is one of those things that where you don't really remember that it's there until you need them. And then if he starts shanking 35-yard field goals again, people are just going to get stressed out and angry. I mean, I'm already getting stressed out thinking about it. So, yeah.
I'm with you, Robert. I'm with you. And good thing, I'm glad that Alex isn't here to defend Crosby. We can ride on him all we want. We can say whatever we want about Crosby and no defenders here, I don't think.
Hey, I might pipe up and defend him. I don't think Crosby can get any worse.
Ooh.
Okay, well, that's backhanded, so that's okay.
There you are. I would have to say Sean Slocum. I don't know if I can pick a non-player, but he's been my whipping boy already, and he's done nothing to show me that he's making any difference with these special teams. So, yeah, that's my whipping boy.
How about A.J. Hawk?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He just does me.
Yeah, it's hard to make him a whipping boy. I mean, he's adequate.
Right, he's kind of a non-factor.
He's completely adequate. I mean, he's not great. He's not spectacular.
Well, he's what you guys want Sam Shields to be at a minimum. You don't want him to make the big he's assignment sure. You don't want him to make the mistakes that Jared Bush did, who sometimes had a good play. You want him to be adequate, to at least not stand out at a minimum. Maybe do better than that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, A.J. Hawk is there. He'll always be there. But I don't think I can – I mean, I can't attack a guy who's just there.
We have an interesting assortment of choices in the chat room here. We've got Jermon Williams. We've got Justin Harrell. We've got Darren College, Brandon Underwood. And Jamie Lee says Slocum, good choice.
Yeah, everybody mentioned the two that I'm thinking are going to have these breakout years between Crosby and Hawk. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's definitely my fan bias in here coming in and saying I want these two guys to have a better year and mm-hmm. I want them to do well. But, you know, after the mediocre seasons they've had and then below mediocre for Crosby, I think that, you know, I think this is going to be their year. And
so you're just setting a low bar and hoping for the best then?
That's how I live my life, Al.
Okay, if that works.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you're right. Because that would...
We all hope it's right, yeah. I mean, I'm being facetious here. We all hope that it works out swimmingly and that I'm Mason... You know, I hope I'm Mason Crosby's biggest fan by the end of the year. But we'll see.
Right. All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me on. Great show. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot,
Mac.
As
always, Mac.
Thanks, Mac.
All right. Take care.
Well, that was a good question. I like that question.
Definitely.
Yep.
All right. How's Bulaga doing? Did anyone check that lately? Was that a hip flexor he had this week?
He did practice again the next day.
Okay, good.
That was Monday. They kept him out, but Tuesday he did practice.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about Colin Jenkins. If he has, you know, a calf injury, they were saying. Didn't he come out and say suddenly he didn't have any pop in his, getting up from his stance? And that's concerning to me.
I mean,
that first step is so important.
That?
Yeah, I think he came out and he said, you know, he was trying to, in a play, he just didn't have any power there.
Okay.
And that's concerning. Hopefully it's just a slight strain or whatever it is, and it'll get better. But for a big guy, I mean, that's important.
Okay.
Hey, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Who's with us today?
How's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm calling up from Canada. Well, I don't know. I guess you call me Packer Dan 77 every once in a while.
Canada.
Yeah, stupid remark every once in a while for you. Looks like I just got blocked out of your blog talk radio, so I thought I'd phone and ask the question. I'm not really sure why, because
sure.
I've never commented on it. It's all right. It's all right. So am I the only one that's equally afraid of what Jeremiah Finley may or may not do this year as I am happily anticipating what he can accomplish?
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Well,
I mean,
he'll be subject to the hype machine.
I noticed the other day, and I mean, I kind of use Twitter mostly for all your guys' links and stuff, to be honest. But I noticed the other day his wonderful wife was talking about signing up for his fan club before he went all Hollywood or something. And, you know, I know not to say that's an indicator necessarily, but, I mean, anybody that's late for the biggest game of their life, you know, making roll call to be in bed on time, and then it seems like there's a lot of little things that add up. And he's an incredible athlete. We can all agree on that, right? But, I mean, he came out early for whatever, you know, family reasons. That's fine. We've all made mistakes and had to deal with them. And that's all good. And the guy's awesome, right? But there's just something about him that just petrifies me that he's going to come unglued and go T.O.
Well,
am I the only
still,
one?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't think he's the sharpest tool in the shed, personally. And he certainly still is immature. You know, the way he's handled a bunch of situations recently tell me that. But I do think that he's gotten his act together on the field, and that includes during practice. That was the biggest complaint from the coaches was his lack of focus in practice. And all indications this year are that he's really focused, working hard, trying to get better in practice and not just out there, you know, being all Hollywood. So I'm hopeful. Right. I'm hopeful.
Fair enough. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say someone might say that the night before Super Bowl I, Max McGee went out and got absolutely smashed.
I guess.
And then the next day he had the game of his life. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying that Jermichael Finley is Max McGee, but I also think that with the other receivers on that team, I don't think that Donald Driver and Greg Jennings are going to let some punk take away their, you know, catches if he starts acting out in public or against the team.
Right.
Something tells me there would be some internal discipline if it really became a problem.
The thing that really kind of brought it to my mind was watching the draft when they went up and took Neal, right? And you got to think that was based on their thoughts as far as what Jolly was going to be able to ever do again, maybe, let's say. You know what I mean? Like addressing that need ahead of time because they thought there was a concern there they really had to address. And then, I guess, what was it, the fifth or whatever, they took Corliss, right? And it's
Corliss.
Like, well, where's this coming from? Like there's other needs here that aren't really that are more demanding than tight end. So why is Corliss getting taken, you know? Like, is it just, like, throwing a bunch of chips in and saying, well, if the kid makes it, he's going to be great? Or is it a matter of, let's get another, you know, not meet a poor man's, let's say, Finley, just in case this kid's brain blows up?
I think the Corliss pick was more in response to Havener's motorcycle accident and the uncertainty if he was going to come back. And plus, I think it's also in response to Lee's statistical decline over the past couple of years. I'm not sure it had as much to do with Finley, but I do agree with you that the two, Corliss and Finley, were almost clones of each other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys have a good night, and thanks for the show, and go Pack. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Appreciate
thanks
the
calling.
Call. Good question.
Canada Packer guy.
Hey, our first Canada call?
Yeah, I believe so. Hey.
All right. We need a bell or something to ring, you know, like whenever we have a special call, you know, like when you make a sale, they ring the bell. Well,
there you go.
We need something like that. You need to hit on that.
I'll work on that. I'm just going to try to keep the switchboard working and try to find Alex again.
Just a few more minutes.
Alex is out in cyberspace somewhere. Real quick, and you hate to bring up the Vikings, but you know we already had Max call in. Is Javon Walker just like the final nail in the coffin for the Vikings this year? I mean, how many more head cases can this team take before they completely implode?
Let's Let's hope not. Let's hope there's many more nails in the coffin.
I'm hoping. I think that's all you need right now. I think they're done.
That's a good outlook.
I'm actually a little bit nervous about that signing.
Really?
I mean, you know, it's a little bit like the Bears. Well, it's a little like the Bears receivers. They didn't have they don't have a veteran guy that can show, you know, Johnny Knox and Devin Hester how to catch the ball. In, you know, Minnesota, I really don't think that Bernard Berrien is the guy to, you know, help the younger guys run routes. Javon Walker, yeah, he knows how to hook up with Brett Favre on really fantastic passes, and I'm just a little bit concerned.
Hmm.
I mean, I hope that it's completely unfounded and he doesn't even make the roster.
Here's how Javon's going to teach him. He's going to hook in EA Sports 2005 and like, see what I did there? Do that.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think this is going to be an enjoyable year for Packer fans because I do think that Viking team, I know Robert was saying he thinks they're going to be pretty tight. I think they're going to be down in bear land when it comes to the division standings.
Really?
I do. I really do. And I think it's going to be very enjoyable to watch.
Well, I think Rice being out really helps you along that path. You know, Rice made Favre look pretty good on a bunch of plays last year. Without that little security blanket for Brett Favre, I think that's really going to hurt their offense. It really is. I still think they're a good team. I don't think it'll be easy, but that's a factor.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Agreed.
Yep. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are done for this week. Apologize for some of our technical difficulties, but we did survive. Next week, we're going to be back again on Wednesday, just before the final preseason game. So please tune in at 8 o'clock next Wednesday. I believe Packer Transplants is coming back next Tuesday. Is that right, guys?
I think so.
I believe so. Don't miss that over at Cheesehead TV. If you can't listen to us on a computer, just call the regular phone number. You can listen right over your phone. We're also available on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you very much to Robert Greenfield from Packer Ranter for joining us today.
Yeah, Robert.
Thank you, guys.
Max Ginsburg and Canada Packer Guy for calling in today. Go Pack, go.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.